This is your friend John Walden again. We're in the book of the Revelation in our studies. Please join us. Chapter 20, one of the most solemn chapters in all the book of the Revelation. We're reaching the close now. In fact, we have already studied about the Battle of Armageddon, which comes at the end of the Great Tribulation. And now in this chapter we read about the end of the world. There are many people who wonder if the end of the world might come at any time. According to our Bibles, it cannot come for at least 1,007 years. There must be the 7 years, which we commonly call the Great Tribulation, and then there is the 1,000 years, which is mentioned 6 times in this chapter we're studying. Some people object to the use of the term millennium. Well, the word millennium doesn't occur in the Bible, but it's simply the Latin form of the word 1,000 years, or the phrase 1,000 years. And this is mentioned 6 times in this one chapter. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Now, dragon tells us of his cruelty. Serpent tells us that he is a deceiver. The word devil means tempter, and the word Satan means the adversary. And this is the character of this fearful person who was created a beautiful angel, but who rebelled against God and became the arch enemy and arch deceiver of the human race. According to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be saved. And if you are not saved, you have allowed the God of this world, the devil, to blind your eyes, to blind your mind. And there are many people who seem to think that their own intellect is the great criterion. This is the great test. If they understand it, well and good, they'll accept it. If they don't, they won't. And yet it's impossible for you to understand if you're not willing to believe God. Satan is the controller of the kingdoms of this world. In his temptation of the Lord Jesus, he claimed this, and the Lord never refuted his claim at all. It was handed over to him by Satan, by Adam in the Garden of Eden, and Satan has controlled this world ever since. He's called the prince of the power of the air. Although he is bound for 1,000 years, the time the Lord Jesus reigns here on this earth as king, this does not stop sin. According to the 65th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 20, sin and sinners will still exist, because, you see, sin is not only the result of satanic temptation, it is also the result of the fallen nature. And you and I have inherited this from Adam and Eve, our foreparents, and we have tendencies to sin. And even if man were given the perfect environment, which he will be given during this 1,000 years, when Christ is the king and all temptation is taken out of his way, still, man's heart remains unchanged. Unless you have the change known as the new birth, unless you accept Christ as your Savior, and the Spirit of God creates a new life within you, you will never be any different than you are now. Now, Satan is shut up in this bottomless pit, we're told, and a seal put upon him. In verse 3 it says that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that he must be loosed a little season. Then he said, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. These are the tribulation saints, those killed during the last half of the 7 years, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This was the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There is no such thing taught in the Bible as a general resurrection or a general judgment. The first resurrection is in three stages, just as in the harvest in the Old Testament. The harvest was first of all the first fruits presented to God, then the general harvest, and then the gleanings. So in the resurrection, the Lord Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is the first fruits, then they that are Christ's at his coming, and then the gleanings. This will be the resurrection of those who die during the Great Tribulation, who have put their trust in the Savior. And all of these have part in the first resurrection. They are called blessed and holy. Will you have part in this first resurrection? Has the life of God been implanted in your spirit? Have you taken Christ as your Savior? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? I don't say you hope so, because it's possible to know. 1 John 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." You may have a part in the first resurrection. Now, there can be no kingdom without the king. There are many people who misunderstand the kingdom, and it's true that the kingdom is taught in various forms. The church is the present form of the kingdom. But it's true also that the kingdom on this earth will not be possible until the king comes back. And the Lord Jesus is the only true king. This kingdom is going to be shared by the saints. Daniel speaks of this, so do other Old Testament prophets. So Old Testament saints will have a part in it. And those of us who accept Christ for Savior in this present day, and who live for him, faithful to him, are promised as rewards the crowns and the dominion over certain cities, which is a part of this kingdom we're reading about here. Of course, this kingdom continues on into the new heavens and the new earth eternally. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're just now considering the 1,000 years on the present earth. Then when the 1,000 years are expired, verse 7 says, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. And this connects us, of course, with the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel. And we believe it's very definitely connected with Russia, which is probably the greatest assemblage of rebels against God and against his word and against his Christ that the world has ever seen. The same spirit will characterize the people, even at the close of 1,000 years of perfect peace. When Satan is loosed out of his kingdom, he'll have no trouble at all getting volunteers to join him in a final rebellion against God. They went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Matthew 25:41 says it was created specially for him. Where the beast and the false prophet are, after 1,000 years, they're still there. There's no such thing as annihilation taught in the Bible. The lake of fire is neither destruction, annihilation, nor is it purgatorial, because they're still tormented day and night, forever and ever. And then is set up what is called the Great White Throne, verse 11 of the 20th of Revelation. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. And this person, according to the 5th chapter of John's Gospel, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Although he was rejected and mistreated and despised while he was here, he is the judge. And if you don't receive him as Savior, you'll have to face him as judge. And what will you say when you see the mark of the nails in his hands and know that this is indeed the one who died that you might have life, and now you've rejected him and have to face him as a judge? I pray it'll never happen to you. And then the dead, these are spiritually dead as well as physically dead, stand before God, and the books are open. Now, there are at least three books: the book of the record of your life, the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, wherein are written the names of all who trust in the Savior, and the Word of God itself, because the Lord Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken unto you, they shall judge you in the last days." You may not have any use for these books, but you'll have to face them and the consequences of dying without Christ. Even the sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So the body and the spirits were reunited. They were judged, every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. This is final justice, friends. It is eternal woe for those who reject Christ, and happiness only for those, as he says in verse 15, whose names were written in the Lamb's book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is a terrible whosoever, because no one is excluded. If your name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, this is your doom. But there's a better whosoever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why don't you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior? He loved you enough to die for you. God is satisfied with his work on your behalf. If you receive him, if you trust him, your name is written in his book, and then when he comes back, you'll sit with him on this throne, according to 1 Corinthians 6, rather than stand before it to be judged. Father, we ask you to bless thy word to those who heard it just now. Again, we pray for salvation of the lost, and we pray that thy dear children will be living in expectation of the wonderful return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.